We are live on the world according to the man that'll be here in 2 or 3 seconds, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to welcome everybody out there that's listening on Rumble. I want to remind everybody to that I do see some of your Rumble rants. Some of them I do get later on and via the mail. And I want to remind everybody, thank you for listening to our podcast that we download. And if you listen to the podcast, go to rumble.com and subscribe to the channel. It's Ben Stein. Just all you got to do is type Ben Stein into the channels, subscribe and like Ben Stein. Also, of course, you could find Ben Stein on the world. You could find Ben Stein and our email, benstein.substack.com. We are joined tonight by a regular, of course, the co-president, since we had Maka on the other night, of conservative talk radio, Rob Kendall from 93.1 WIBC. Bam!
You know, the Dodgers are playing the Padres tonight, and Walker Buehler is pitching for the Dodgers. How could I not bet on Walker Buehler when I'm on with Ben Stein?
You are truly an American classic. And of course, you can catch Rob every day from 9 to noon on, like I said, WIBC. I want to welcome everybody that's in the stream. I will be looking at the look. I will be looking at your stream. It still gets a little confusing, by the way, the Rumble. It's not as user friendly. But what is these days, Rob? What is user friendly?
You know what is? The radio that never abandoned you, Judah. Terrestrial radio will never let you down.
You know, you're completely right about that, by the way, but you never know. I mean, what they're going after, whoever, it's the one stalwart, it's the one thing left that they haven't been able to get to. And I find that to be, you're still in the you know, I still think terrestrial. You see, here's what you're talking about though, because XM radio, right, in the beginning, they promised you no commercials. That was always the lore of XM radio. Well, guess what? There are commercials. And XM radio essentially became terrestrial radio just under the guise of, you know, radio
Wait a minute, I didn't
2.0.
know that. Wait a second. Just a second, Judah M. Friedman. I listen to XM day and night, all through all around the clock, and I've never heard a commercial on it.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking. I listen to 50s on 5 around the clock.
Right, but they have commercial breaks. They do.
Okay, well, I know you to be a very intelligent observer, so if you say so, I believe you, but I.
Rob, I'm pretty familiar with 50s on 5. They do have to take a few. I do believe. Listen, I don't know about 50s on 5 as much, but I do know other stations. They do take a break, and of course, this show wouldn't be complete without America's humble servant, actor, writer, provocateur, saint,
Humber,
sinner, lover.
humble is not even humble enough.
And well,
I
that's
am
the
beyond humble.
you're humble pie.
I'm humble by
Actor,
30 days in
writer.
the hole. 30 days in the hole. Humble pie. Boom. There you
Actor,
go.
writer.
Speaking of which, I want some pie.
And not during the show. That'll be your treat after. And please turn your phone off.
My phone is off.
You've said that before, and I hear
Oh,
the
yeah, that's
chimes of
right.
your ring
That's the
alarm.
chimes of freedom flashing.
Yeah, it's the charms of people at your doorstep or the wind.
No, the chimes of freedom flashing. You not know that song by
I see what
Bob
you did.
Dylan?
I see what you did there, Ben. I like that. That's great.
The chime.
Of course, this show wouldn't be complete without Dr. Benjamin Jeremy Stein. And tonight we were supposed to have John Drosnick from Five for Fighting, but he's in New York on tour. They were polite enough to call me and tell me or email me and let me know. He will be on October 12th. That's Five for Fighting, John Drosnick. And tonight actually would have been the perfect time for him to be on because his song Blood on Our Hands is the topic that was all through Washington today, which was you had the three nitwits, the hearings going to nowhere, Ben, because they are going nowhere. And they're just hearings of listening to these jackasses, Milley, McKenzie, and Austin, either
Austin's
tell
my favorite. He's my favorite.
which one?
Austin.
They should. I mean, they literally could be like a somebody that should put them on tour, you
That's
know,
funny. That's very funny. That's funny.
like instead of like New Kids on the
The Three
Block,
Stooges. The Three Stooges.
the Three Military Stooges, and that's actually a good name for the show tonight, the Three Military Stooges.
But we're the Stooges too. We're the Stooges too.
Sorry,
we're Stooges too. I mean, yes. we let these morons take over the country. We're Stooges too.
We are Stooges, and actually, they were a good band, the Stooges.
You're kidding. I never remember. I didn't even know there was a band.
Yeah, there was a band called the Stooges. Very Iggy Pop. Very in that time frame of the Ramones. But Ben, I want to get to this because obviously, this is going nowhere.
Nothing's going anywhere except to hell in a bucket. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole story is that this country's going to hell in a bucket under the leadership of Mr. Biden and his millions of stooges. And we don't even know who the stooges are. Robert Kendall, you're wiping your forehead. Do you know? Do you have insight?
Well, no, we had three of them today. We had three of the stooges today. So
do you think I don't think they're giving the orders. I mean, I think the orders are being given by somebody else. About who it is, I do not know.
We know one thing. We know they had active intelligence. We know that they had suggestions. We know that Biden lied, obviously, on the Stephanopoulos show when he said that there wasn't a consensus of how to leave and how many troops on the ground. What you're referring to, Ben, is absolute, I believe, coordinated chaos.
But obviously, as you know, that's sort of, I would say, sort of a contradiction in terms. But nobody seems to know what he or she is doing there, period. I mean, unless the goal is to wreck everything they touch. If the goal is to wreck everything they touch, they're doing incredibly well at it. But if the goal is something constructive, I don't see what they're doing right. I mean, they've taken a very promising situation in the Middle East and turned it to mud. They've taken a very promising situation with China and turned it to mud. They've taken a very promising situation in terms of getting the currency stabilized and getting America to have a strong currency and getting that thrown that under the bus. I'm not sure what they've done right. I've told you something they've done.
Okay, Ben, hold on a second.
Race hatred even worse. Sorry.
If somebody's in your kitchen doing something.
No, we're making a fire.
It's affecting the background noise.
We're making a fire because it's cold out here in Malibu. But it'll stop in a minute.
Do you not have heat?
No, are you kidding? What's heat? We have heat, but we want to make a fire. Jeff, Judah is complaining about the noise from the fire.
Yes. I actually.
Okay, it's done now.
Thank you very much. But Rob Kendall, you've been silent long enough.
Well, if your goal was to tear down America, not reform America, but completely tear down America and rebuild it in an image that you see is a better form of America, which it never works anywhere in the history of the world, but the people who are advising Biden, the people behind the scenes, the nameless, faceless bureaucrats, who many of whom are radical leftists, this would be a great way to go. But you're right. There's no out for him now because we know he was told repeatedly or suggested repeatedly that he should leave troops in, and he chose not to because he wanted out of Afghanistan. He wanted to be the guy who did what Obama could not.
But I think, if I may say so, to a man with such luxuriant hair, I question anything I do when I question a man with such luxuriant hair. Somebody is telling somebody else to do various things that screw up America. Why are they doing that? Are they communists? Are they just cruel, stupid people? What's their purpose? I mean, what is the purpose of these people? I mean, do they really think America is going to be better if people are encouraged to hate their neighbors? I mean, I guess some Muslim religions or maybe Marxism says hate thy neighbor as thyself. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. But if the goal is to love thy neighbor as thyself, they're not doing it very well. And if the goal is to make America thy neighbor prosperous, they're not doing that very well. It's hard for me to see what they're doing well.
Well, what they're doing well is, like I said before, with coordinated chaos. What appears to be chaos is at the, is very well a big coordination by we don't know who. Some people say Obama, some people say Susan Rice, six of one, half a dozen of the other, Ben Stein and Rob Kendall. But what appears to be is what I'm saying is all coordinated.
But I have never seen any sign that President Obama had a sufficient intellect to have any kind of coordinated plan for anything. I mean, I once heard something about it, and you might have told me this, Judah, that his goal in life is to be the first billionaire ex-president.
No, that wasn't my goal. What I've said to you was, I thought his goal is to become the president of the UN.
That's a useless job.
I mean, or create a new position, in a sense, the president of the world. That's what I.
Well, that is pretty far fetched. How old is he?
55?
60. He just had his 60th birthday.
I thought he just had his 60th birthday. I think that's pretty far fetched. I just think he's just out to be the center of attention and to make money. But if you have some reason to believe that he wants to be the president of the world, I'd like to hear it.
Well, for the record, Ben Stein and Rob Kendall, I don't believe anything to be far fetched anymore. Things that I at one time thought would be extremely far fetched, I no longer believe to be far-fetched. There is nothing you could tell me anymore about any of our agencies that would surprise me. Absolutely zero. So that's just my humble thought. It's my humble opinion. It's the way he's looked at, sort of like a king-like figure, or wants to be like king-like figure.
Can we back up a little tiny bit?
Yes.
Who looks upon him as a king-like figure? And I mean, obviously none of us three do. But who looks upon him as a king-like figure?
People on the left. To people on the left, he is he's greater than a Kennedy. To people on the left, to intelligentsia, or to he is that he's the culmination of everything Chomsky and all those jackasses have thought of this, our great country. Just my humble observation.
You may well be right. I mean, that is so far from the prevailing opinion in my small circle of friends that it would be impossible to describe the distance. But God bless him if that's what people want to think about him. I don't know, that sounds so weird. I mean, this is a guy of extremely mediocre intelligence, who has lied about almost everything in his life, who could not even do his paper for a graduate school, but instead made up a story about his father instead of doing a paper. This does not sound like a person with a genius to conceive of being president of the world.
And to prove my point, Rob Kendall, we have Joe Biden in, okay? Who Joe Biden makes Obama look like he's in Mensa. And look how far Joe Biden has gotten with absolutely everything that Ben just said, having zero of those things, less than zero of all those credentials. And we know how he got in, Rob, but still, nonetheless.
Hey, there's an old saying, if you believe it, you can achieve it. And Joe Biden has been, I'm a 37-year-old man. Joe Biden has been running for president since I was four, count them, 4 years old. And give the guy credit, he would not quit.
Okay, but let's go back to the guy who's supposedly the inspiration for everyone, namely Mr. Obama. I don't understand why anyone would think that he's so great. I mean, what's he done?
Okay, Ben, you're right.
He just got to be in the Senate by an incredibly lucky fluke, an unbelievably lucky fluke. He was not even remotely considered likely to become a U.S. senator. And then he had just one lucky fluke after another. Now, if you want to say, he is the luckiest guy in the world. Okay, that we might say is true. He's the luckiest guy in the world. But is he a genius? Is he a
what
great
does one
statesman?
Have to do with the other? Beware of false prophets. That's number one. And to quote Bruce Springsteen, who I don't like quoting anymore, All men want to be rich, but rich men want to be king, and the king ain't satisfied until he rules everything.
Yeah, Badlands reference. I like it.
And what is intelligence and all that? We've always believed he's a prop or a stooge as we've started the show.
Well, then who are the puppet masters?
The puppet masters are the Chomskys or
I thought Chomsky was barely alive. I thought he was not in good health.
He's alive enough, but who's the guy, Rob, that created Obamacare? The guy behind the scenes, if somebody could, if you could wiki that, the guy that, Ben Rhodes, people like Ben Rhodes who flat out came out and said, we know we're lying to the American people and they're going to buy it because we're lying. People like Ben Rhodes or Jake Sullivan, who created the whole Russia nonsense, who's finally coming out a little bit in the Dunham report that he was, he's got a huge position. Yeah, Rob.
Well, I was just going to say, wasn't Gruber one of the guys? Because he was the bad guy in Die Hard, too, that was in on Obamacare.
Yeah, God bless Alan Rickman's soul. But Ben, if somebody would have told you 8 months ago that we would have a hearing like we had today, and as we've discussed, all the things that have happened in 8 months, you would have said that's inconceivable.
The hearing today, I would say comical, and we would go back to our friend, Mr. Marx, who said that history repeats itself. The first time is comedy, a tragedy, second time is farce. But I would say today was a farce day. I don't see where any of this is going for any of these people. I mean, they're already, the rich ones are already terribly rich. They have enough money to buy anything they want.
Power.
They have enough power to do anything. I mean, what do they want?
No. But I mean power, Ben, at a global level. I mean, I know. Listen, this is all speculation. I'm talking about Bond type stuff. I'm talking about like Machiavellian, George Soros type stuff. Things in my wildest dreams, Ben Stein, I never thought I would think in my life, but I believe everybody wants to rule the world, to grow tears for fears. And I believe that these people seriously want to rule the world, Ben Stein.
Well, they may want to rule the world. I myself would just like to have regular bowel habits, but I'm just wondering, if I may make such a respectful observation, how come since nobody else has been able to rule the world, why do these guys think they can rule the world? I mean, nobody else has been able to. Lenin couldn't, Stalin couldn't, Hitler couldn't, Mao Zedong couldn't. Why do they think they can?
But what you're saying proves the point. Well, if all these people would have looked at the other people and then said, well, they tried to rule the world, what makes me believe I can rule the world?
Right.
So, sorry?
Right. So why?
But I mean, my point being is
you're sort of saying the opposite. On the one hand, you're saying these guys are incredibly clever. On the other hand, you're saying that they haven't learned a thing from history.
Yes, that absolutely could go hand in hand, as we've seen for the last 20 some odd years in the Middle East. Rob, I see you wanting to jump in.
Couldn't it also be they're narcissistic enough to believe that they're the ones who will be different?
I think there's a lot to that, but all the ones who thought they were all the world thought they were going to be different. I mean, the Fuhrer thought he was going to be different. The Fuhrer, who had been a homeless person, who had never had any military training whatsoever, said, I am the greatest military genius of all time. He wasn't. It turned out quite clearly he wasn't. Napoleon, who was a real genius, said, I'm going to conquer Russia and rule the world. He didn't even come close. So why do these people think that they're going to succeed where the likes of Hitler and Napoleon didn't even come close to succeeding?
Well, it's part of it, though, that we're so interconnected now through the World Wide Web, if anybody still uses that phrase anymore.
Remzo.
But we are so connected, and a few companies control so much of communication and the free flow of information across the globe that in a weird way, maybe it's easier to do than ever before.
That's a great point, Ben. He's bringing up the point that you have these oligarchs of Facebook, these political oligarchs of Facebook, YouTube, obviously Twitter, that are governments. They are bigger than most governments. And so if you want to say who's running stuff, look no further than those three.
How about saying this? Any district court judge in America can stop them. Any district court judge can stop them. So why? So what makes them think they're so powerful? Any court of appeals in any circuit in America can stop them. The Supreme Court can stop them. So they can, I assume they can stop them, unless the Supreme Court is going to be abolished by Mr. Biden. They can be stopped and fairly readily, but I don't see why they think they are going to be more powerful than Stalin, for example.
Because they've gotten away with so much.
Stalin got away with incomparably more.
But you're
and
using.
He didn't even come close to ruling the world.
Right. But again, narcissism, and you're basically proving the point of what I'm saying is that there are no lifeguards on duty. There isn't, if you go to CNN today on their news, and I did this on purpose, I don't normally like to go to CNN, you would have not known that the Senate hearings happened today, Ben, on CNN. You would have not known, and I would imagine every major news organization, you would not have known that those Senate hearings went on. You would not have known that these three stooges, military stooges, proved that Biden lied 2 weeks ago on national television. So everything is possible, as Rob Kendall so eloquently said, with these massive companies.
What isn't part of it too, though, that America, no matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, there was a time, and Ben can speak eloquently to this, more eloquently than I can, because he's a great historian. But America, whether you were Democrat or Republican, you believed, we as a country believed, politicians believed, leaders believed, America was just better because we are better. And so no matter what, whatever our internal differences were, we as Americans believed that we were special and we were better. I think a big part of this now is there's a lot of people running this country who don't believe America's better and want to be a part of this world type government, this world community, whatever you want to call it. So in a weird way, maybe that's the facilitator of it. And obviously, when you have the big tech companies on board, maybe they all run together.
Well, we know they don't all run together because, for example, we know the Wall Street Journal doesn't run the same direction as the New York Times, at least not entirely by any means. We know that the Dow Jones doesn't run entirely in the same direction as the New York Times. We know that even though it has changed to some degree, that Fox News doesn't run in the same currents as MSNBC. So it doesn't all run in the same way, although it certainly does run fairly close to the same way. But here's an interesting thing. I have a very smart sister who was pointing out something astonishingly interesting to me the last few days. Joseph Stalin, during the late 20s up until he died, was running massive murders in the Soviet Union, killing millions by violence and by starvation and by pestilence. Millions. It was hardly reported at all in the Western newspapers. The main reporter covering this was a man named Walter Duranty from the New York Times. He was saying things were great in Russia and Stalin was a savior. So I scoffed at my sister and I said, oh, well, that's, we'll find lots of other people who are saying how bad it was. And I spent quite a long time yesterday and today looking through the internet, trying to find examples of people who were reporting on how bad things were in Russia under Stalin, couldn't find much. So it is possible to suppress the truth for a very long time, but it does, eventually come out. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, truth crushed to earth will rise again.
And you're right, but to compare like the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Facebook, YouTube, you're talking about barely these aren't the American institutions that they once were. You're talking about the reach of YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter to having a reach of a billion and a half people. It's a lot of people, Ben. A billion, the subscribers on these things in the billions. I might be underestimating that number, Rob.
What could be a bigger number than billion?
Yeah, it could be 3 or 4 billion people that are compared to 1 million people that read the Wall Street Journal or 1 million people that 2 million people that watch Fox News. You're talking about 40 million people that get their news from a certain source in America. We're talking about billions of people that get their news from Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And when you control the news, you control the narrative, Ben, as you well know. And but Rob, last word on this, or Ben?
Well, it's just so sad to me that Facebook, which was initially invented as a way for guys to pick up girls, has now turned into this world dominant control of free flow of information. Bring back the old Facebook
or MySpace.
I'm sad to say I was talking today to a very smart man about the Civil War, and it's astonishing. This man is a college graduate and knows almost nothing about the Civil War, the single biggest event ever to happen in the Western Hemisphere. And I think to myself, well, if this man, a college graduate and a law school graduate, doesn't know much about the Civil War, then people don't know much about anything.
Well, I told you, go on the street, Ben, and ask, and you know,
I'm
do
scared
the,
to go and on
do,
the street.
And do the man on the street type thing and ask them, and we've brought this up on the show, who fought in the Civil War? What was the Civil War about? How many people died? What color were the most of the, were 99.99% of the people that were fighting died? Most people would not know. But on that note, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. We are talking hypotheticals. We are talking history tonight. We are talking a lot of different stuff, and it's what separates us from everybody else.
That's funny. I made a very funny expression. That's
well, Rob's a funny guy. Ben remember, and to the people that are hearing our that don't watch our videos but listen to the podcast, Rob Kendall, since he's been on the show, has grown about 4 inches of hair from WeGrowHairIndy.com, and I finally got it right. So that's the hair joke. If you're listening to it, I have to remind people of that. But I also want to remind people, benstein.substack.com. Please, if you download our podcast, please subscribe to us on Rumble. And if you subscribe to us and listen to us on Rumble, please still download our podcast. It's synergy, folks. But also at the same time, listen to Rob Kendall's show on 93.1 WIBC. Bam! He is the co-president of Conservative Talk Radio. And yes,
did Mock keep all her clothes on when she was on with you guys on Saturday?
Yes, she did. Yeah. And she's a beautiful and charming young woman.
Unlike you. Yes, she Rob frequently gets naked on the show. And of course, I want to welcome everybody back to The World According to Ben Stein, where we still know how to have comedic humor and enjoy our lives. And I want to get to that at the end of the show. But the thing, there's two topics I really want to bring up quickly is, so you had these hearings today, and it reminded me a lot of the Benghazi thing. It reminds me constantly of, no offense to Trey Gowdy, who seems like an okay individual, and Tom Cotton and Josh Hawley today were doing...
They're way more than just okay. But again,
they were speaking and nothing came of it. And I would love, and they kept on bringing up the resign thing. And I would just love if one of them would say, absolutely nothing is going to come from these hearings, Ben Stein. But please, you know, but and we're all cognizant of that fact because nothing ever happens. But I would just love if one of them just openly, admittedly, and honestly said that, but said, you're showing your true colors here for the world to see.
Showing who is showing his or her?
The military stooges.
Well, but they're... They don't. We don't see them as being the stooges. Though we see that Mr. Biden is a stooge also. I mean, they're all stooges, and the media is stooges, are stooges too. They're not really going after after either Biden or these military guys in any kind of really vicious way, the way they would if Mr. Trump were still president. I mean, they're letting them get away with it.
Get away with murder.
Yeah, they're letting him get away with murder. But this has been going on now for the last 7 or 8 months. It's been going on since Trump became president. Yeah. It's been going on because they have been smearing him over and over and over and over again, conspiring, wrecking the FBI, wrecking the CIA, wrecking the NSA to get at Trump. And the whole government has been turned inside out to get at Trump. And so why are we surprised now that we have this new development, this new wrinkle of this of the Three Stooges?
And just so CNN was running a story, and I'll get to you, CNN was running the story today because, you know, another traitor, Stephanie Grisham, the former, I believe it was Melania's press secretary, Rob.
That is correct.
Who came out and revealed, and I think she might have been Trump's for half a second. And she came out today and said the reason he went into the hospital in 2019 was and he didn't want to tell anybody was because he had a colonoscopy.
That
was CNN. That was or Stephanie Grisham in her new book. You know, obviously betraying the Trump or you know the Trump you know the Trump family and the Trump. You know.
I don't get it. There's nothing shameful about having a
not at all. But he, you know, in his defense, if we're quoting accurately, he didn't want that to be another topic on the nightly news. Or the late night comics joking about him getting a colonoscopy. I could understand with every thing of shit that when he was examined, he didn't actually want his colonoscopy to be revealed. So, but my point being is that was their story today. Again, Trump. Nothing to do with the Senate hearings, nothing to do with any of that.
Well, Trump said, you guys are going to really miss me when I'm gone because you're not going to have anything to talk about. And he was sure right. I mean, what we have to talk about is a kind of rapid deterioration of this incredibly great country. But let's back up. Here's the kind of thing that just endlessly fascinates me. I was I'm at our house in Malibu. You can't see it now, but behind me is the great Pacific Ocean, but it's dark, so you can't see it. And it's just, life's great. I mean, the refrigerator is full of Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke. There's every kind of yogurt that I love and crave. Later on tonight, I'm going to make incredibly, unbelievably delicious French toast for my big wifey, the world's most wonderful human being. And my wonderful nurse, Jeff, is going to have some. We're all going to be happy. We're getting happy. So maybe Mr. Biden has figured out that as long as people are having their French toast, he can get away with anything.
Yeah, but here's the problem. A lot of people aren't having their French toast.
Well, why and not? Why the hell
because
not?
A lot because a lot of people aren't afforded certain luxuries that you.
If you think French toast is a luxury,
well, I think obviously having a house in Malibu is you know certain things that they aren't afforded those same luxuries. People that with inflation on the shelves of things you enjoy dearly. The prices have gone up for people. I mean,
I know I don't expect everyone to have a house in Malibu. I won't. I'm obviously not going to have it myself much longer. I'm an old man, and I won't have much of anything much longer. But my point is, there's still an awful lot to enjoy. And I think, if I may say, with respect, with great respect, there's still a hell of a lot to enjoy. And I think Mr. Biden has figured out that as long as people are getting their French toast, they're going to be perfectly happy.
Not if you look at his approval ratings. If his approval ratings are in the shitter, every poll question has gone against him, Rob. The polls are not. I mean, as we said the other night when you weren't here, Rob, the Republicans will win the House. The question is, are they the Republicans that we want?
So two things. One, Ben's home is modest in Malibu, as I have learned over the years. And
I've told you that many times.
The poor man can't even afford heat. He has to start a fire in his own home.
Exactly right.
So let's keep
right.
that in perspective. Yeah, right. But Judy, you hit on a great point, which is the Republicans are awesome in opposition. They suck in governance. How many times since 1994 have we heard, put us in charge, we'll fix it? And how many times do they govern just slightly, maybe barely, kind of to the right of the Democrats, and they lose power? Why don't they just do what they say?
What? Has it ever occurred to you that there's nothing to be done? That can't be done. The problem can't be fixed. We have a large block of extremely incompetent, lazy people in this country. I'm not going to get yelled at for being a racist by describing them in any detail. Some of them are just young people. A lot of young people are just sullen, lazy people. I'm not describing any particular racial group necessarily. What I'm saying is maybe we just have the world has changed and we're not the same American people we used to be. Look, America was just this big uncharted country, continent. Why did we become the most important country in the world? It wasn't because we had so much oil, although we did have a lot of oil. It wasn't because we had so much timber, although we did have a great deal of timber. We had hardworking people. We had the Irish, incredibly hardworking people. Germans, incredibly hardworking people. Italians, incredibly hardworking people. Jews, incredibly hardworking people. And now we don't have such hardworking people anymore. And so the country is going to fall apart.
You see, you raise a good point. You raise a good point, but here's the one challenge. You're right. We were a country of dreamers. Hard workers and dreamers. And now I understand what you're saying, that there's a status quo, but one of the big reasons why Trump was so hated was because he didn't accept status quo. He didn't accept NATO not paying their fair share. He didn't accept the Middle East as the Middle East that everybody wanted the Middle East to be. He didn't accept Europe anymore to be the Europe that it once was. And for that, for all those cockeyed, childlike thoughts that the world can change, that there can be a different landscape, we see what happened to him. So to go to Rob's question or point of view, maybe that's why Republicans are so scared of their own shadows. They know if they speak like Ben, if they dream like Trump, and they talk about the hard work that needs to go into this, it's not in today's day and age in America, Rob, a good thing.
Absolutely true. You're not allowed to say the truth. I mean, yeah. I'm going to back up and go way back in time. What year were you born, Rob?
1983.
Oh, my God, you're just a child. Wow. Judah, what year were you born?
76.
So you're just a child. There used to be a person from Alabama named George Corley Wallace, and he was governor of Alabama. He started out as very much a moderate on segregation and integration. He lost to a guy who was a rabid racist, and so he, next time he ran as a rabid racist himself and won overwhelmingly by an enormous amount. And then he started to change and he stopped being a rabid racist. And he said, I'm not asking for people to be racist. I'm not suggesting it. I think it's terrible. I think everyone should be treated the same regardless of his or her race. What I'm asking for is for people to obey the law and to work. And everybody said, oh, you're a racist. And he said a very simple thing. He said, since when is it being a racist to say obey the law? And there, I think we have an incredibly astute observation about what's going on in America today. Mr. Trump and the Republicans and the police and the sheriffs and the soldiers said, obey the law. We're not asking Black people to be hang their head in shame because they're Black. We're not asking young people who are smoking dope to hang their heads in shame because they're smoking dope. We're asking people to obey the law. You can be anything you want, just obey the law. But that makes you a racist nowadays. This country cannot survive if we demonize people who say obey the law.
No, it's very well said, Rob. And Rob, to answer your question, I think we've both answered your question about why Republicans. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Well, I was just going to say, I think another part of it, too, though, is we don't teach as a society or promote the idea of American exceptionalism. And part of what
we did when I was young,
and we did with Trump. But go on, Ron.
Yeah, and that's the point. When you don't teach the idea from a young age that America is exceptional, America is exceptional because it was made up of exceptional people who did exceptional things.
Absolutely right.
And that's why, by the way, just so you, Rob, I will let you go on. But that's why there is a fascination with Elon Musk, because he is a dreamer. He's the Barnum and Bailey of this generation. He's half, he's mostly bloated BS, but at the same time, he dreams big. We're betting on the come when it comes to him. We're not betting on the actual things he produces, Rob. And we've lost that in our country, that getting to the moon type of thing.
I disagree entirely, with respect.
Yeah.
I think that this country is still capable of dreaming. I want to see people are capable of working. Work.
Yeah. Okay. Rob.
But the big problem is, as we've seen for the past year, the Democrats, and with Republican help last year, so I guess you'd say the Republicans, because they controlled the government at that point, de-incentivized work. They paid people not to work. They, you know, the Republicans, to come back to this thing, they're great in opposition. Yeah, they're being Billy Badass now on the debt ceiling. You know, they're standing firm. But, you know, I think about a guy like Todd Young, who's one of our U.S. senators here. He's on a Stop Washington Waste tour across the state of Indiana because he's up for re-election. He added $9 trillion to the deficit the 4 years that he was in majority, and didn't give a damn about debt ceilings or Washington Waste. It's not that they are mad about the waste. It's they're mad that they're not the ones doling out the waste, because that's how you buy votes.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And at the Constitutional Convention, where the Constitution was indeed created and voted upon, some of the founders were asked, we've made a republic, can we keep a republic? And some great men, I think one of them for sure was Ben Franklin, said, as long as we can keep people from using the government money to buy votes, we can keep this country vigorous and strong. But once we get in a position where the government is mostly used as a conduit to buy votes and to shift money from one group to another to buy their votes, then the country is doomed. And that's exactly what the Democrats are doing. And I'm sorry to say, that's exactly what Mr. Trump was doing.
And I was what?
Buying votes. Running huge deficits to buy votes.
I've always thought you loved what he did with the economy.
I love what he did with the economy when the COVID struck. It was brilliant beyond words. It wasn't as good. It was brilliant. They had, at that point, they had to flood the country with money. But at this point, now that the economy is recovering fairly strongly, they don't have to flood the country with money anymore. And we're heading, at least according to Mr. Powell, the head of the Fed, who's a pretty smart guy, but a very, very smart guy, we're heading towards hyperinflation. That's a scary thought. Hyperinflation, along with lack of law enforcement, is a recipe for chaos in America.
Okay, and at this point, I really think it's very important that everybody, you know, because I do believe in prayer, that we pray for
that we
pray for Kristen Sinema and we pray for Joe Manchin, because these are the two people that could actually have the power to save our country right now. Yeah, Rob.
Well, there's something, there's something interesting, right, about how it always happens to the Democrats and Republicans, that there's always like one or two thorns in the side in the quote unquote middle that always derail whatever either side wants to do.
No, you're right. It was McCain with Trump in the beginning, obviously, and then the Mitt Romneys and all these people. But Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin are actually standing their ground. They're being viciously assaulted online. They're being viciously assaulted. And I you know, as we saw when the Republicans all got shot up because of that nutty Bernie Sanders supporter, viciously attacked online can lead to being viciously attacked, as we saw with Rand Paul in person.
As you just noted a moment ago, with that criminal who went to a practice game of congressional Republicans and started shooting at them. What the hell? What happened about that? Do you ever even hear about that guy?
Nope.
What was that guy's name?
No, I don't even remember his name. Absolutely nothing.
Pure political terrorism. Yeah. Nobody even remembers his name. I don't even remember his name.
Nobody does. You're completely right. And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to welcome everybody that's in the Rumble chat. I am reading your rants. It's a little more difficult than with YouTube. And we're sorry about that, but listen, we love Rumble, and Rumble, here we are, and I want to thank everybody that's been downloading the podcast. And of course, subscribe to our email, benstein.substack.com. We're joined tonight from 93.1 WIBC from the Mock and Rob Show, the world's greatest handicapper, Rob Kendall. And
How did the Europeans lose that bad to the Americans in the Ryder Cup? How did that happen?
It was rigged. I want to save that for the last 5 minutes. Not exactly that, but the next thing I wanted to get to for a little bit was, for the longest time, Ben, we've been talking and you know about who's next, and I do believe that Trump is still the next one. But DeSantis is name, and I couldn't put my finger on what it is about DeSantis, because I think he's doing some great stuff. I think he's bucking the system, but at the end of the day, he's a politician. And that's what separates him from Trump, who is a civilian. DeSantis is for all the good he's done and all that stuff, at the end of the day, it's always going to be about his political career, Ben Stein.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do a sensible thing. What are the main problems in America right now? And how would Donald Trump solve them? I would say the main problems in America right now are the collapse of the family, the collapse of education, abortion, which is to say the encouragement of murder on demand, wild sweeping drug use encouraged by states making a use of marijuana illegal, and a cowardly, incredibly cowardly and disgraceful environmental policy that is going to make America vulnerable to some of the worst people in the world. Okay, so those are our problems. If Mr. Trump were president, and I hope he will be next time, I very much hope he will be, what would he do to fix these problems? Judah, you're his pal. You tell me.
Well, Rob actually met him, so I'll let Rob answer that first.
Well, so this is the question, is what sort of Trump are you going to get going forward? Because, look, I am floored at how good a job Trump has done maintaining an overwhelming support of Republicans who voted for him the last time. They do not see him as a loser, which is amazing, because any time previously somebody loses a presidential election, they go into obscurity somewhere, you know, Gore or Kerry or
Nixon.
Well, but he came back, right?
He sure did.
But he didn't do it immediately.
No, but he did go into obscurity after he left.
Right. And he didn't. Trump has not lost a beat. And that has surprised me incredibly. The question
that's
have
a very good point, very strong point.
The question I have, though, is how.
No. Hold on a second. I brought this up the other night, Ben. I said Trump is following Richard Nixon after 1960. And that's what Richard, if anybody ever wanted to do a brilliant movie on Nixon, it would be Nixon post 60 till him winning, because that shows you what kind of man Nixon was, what kind of person Nixon was. And I really do believe and we know that Trump is a big Nixon lover. They not only giving him offering him the condo, but also that they kept in touch with each other via mail.
I just had a question for Ben, because I've wondered this for a while. So, like, when I met Trump, like, he was a big dude. He's an imposing dude. It was like you were in awe of meeting the guy. Did Nixon have that same sort of aura, like in person?
He had the aura of being a very smart guy. I mean, I was I had the incredible privilege and pleasure of talking to him in just the two of us. Sometimes my wife would be there, so it'd be the three of us in his office down in San Clemente. And once or twice, just a few times in the hall at the White House when I was going somewhere and just having to run into him. And sometimes I would be with my father, who was much closer to President Nixon than I was, and he would open a conversation. And but he was not, the impression he gave was of a very deep thinker, a person who was not blustery at all, who was not a bully at all, was not tricky at all. The idea of calling him Tricky Dick is one of the worst, most repulsively untrue slanders I've ever seen. Just a guy, gave the impression of being a guy who was really, really smart and knew a lot of history.
But if you also want, Rob, want to see something very interesting, because most people get their news, as we've said, from YouTube, Facebook, and movies, right? So if you ever watch Frost Nixon, which is an absolute joke, watch the real Frost Nixon, because Nixon kicked Frost's ass, okay? Not as they show in the movie, which is supposedly, I mean, it's amazing how they took an act, real tape, you know, real interview, and how they distorted it so much. Richard Nixon handled David Frost like a champ. And he handled
he squashed him like a bug.
So the question is, Nixon clearly did something different in 68 than he did in 60. And so I would ask Ben, what does he think the biggest difference was? And two, what does Trump do different? Because he's got to have a new path to get to the presidency.
Well, that's a very, very smart question. In 60, the election was unequivocally stolen by Kennedy money. There was no if, and, or but about it. In fact, I've just been reading a history book in which apparently Mr. Kennedy Sr., Joe Kennedy, said to Jack Kennedy, look, I want you to win, but I don't want to have to pay for a landslide. I don't want to spend $1 more than is necessary. Just get me a victory. I don't want to spend millions on a landslide. Nixon, so there was no Kennedy running against him in 68. There was an honest man, a genuinely decent, honest, extremely fine man, Hubert Horatio Humphrey. So there was no bribery possibility going on there. What I think Trump has to do differently this time is somehow focus the opinions of the public on the incredible corruption of the media, and how the media has smashed any kind of decency in the country in terms of reporting on what's going on right now, and in terms of making Americans feel either bad or good about America.
And I'll take it one step further. Trump could have the most simplest of messages. Ben Stein and Rob Kendall, is this: listen, I know a lot of you don't like me, but do you like what's happened? I know a lot of you find me crude. I know a lot of you find me rude. All I want is a few years in office, because you know I only have a few years, is to get this shit back. That's all I'm asking for. And I think that messaging it's something about openly saying what people don't like about you, embracing what people don't like about you, and then at the same time saying, I'm only going to do this for a few years and then pass the torch off to whoever you guys decide after. But all I want is to get, because I do believe most Americans want American exceptionalism in around the world, in the Middle East, in all these different places. Most people, if you look at the polls, want this stuff. And that's what Trump could play on. Just openly come out and say, I know you don't like me. I know you're turned off by me. I get it. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. All I'm asking is that I be America's cup of tea for a few years and get the shit back. And that's
or it. As I said to Mr. Reagan, I had the incredible privilege of meeting him at the Riviera Country Club, of which my wifey and I at the time were very small owners of. Very small, Robert, so you don't go crazy. I said to Mr. Reagan and to the audience, he was running against that Jimmy Carter. I said, are you off better off now than you were 4 years ago? And I think it's simple enough for Mr. Trump to say that, or for the Republicans.
I agree with you.
Are you better off now than you were when I was president?
You're completely right. And somebody brought up something in the Rumble rant, and I've been reading the Rumble rants, and thank you, Brady, and everybody, and MD Mello, and everybody that's something the man, is about his ego. And I want to say Trump has lost a lot in his financial life. He's gone bankrupt, belly up many times over, and he has been bailed out. One of the people I've always brought up that he idolized was George Steinbrenner of the New York Yankees. He idolized George Steinbrenner as a father figure. Rob, you're a sports fan. And I idolized Steinbrenner as a kid. But one of the greatest things that happened to Steinbrenner, I brought this up, was that when he got banned from baseball for hiring a private detective, I believe it was to follow Dave Winfield. And when he was out of baseball, the Yankees in that 1 year started to get really good. And when he came back in, he was humbled, and he let his ego aside. It put his ego aside, and he let Gene Michaels run the Yankee organization. And I believe if he does that with a guy like Mike Pompeo, Rob, and he says, you know, I trust you, Mike. I trust the few people, you, my son-in-law, Kellyanne. I trust you guys. You help me steer the ship and I'll do what it takes, Rob.
So real quick question for you, Ben. I heard that you own part of Riviera Country Club.
I did. I don't know. Like the equivalent of a grain of sand in the ocean. And that was a long time ago. It's since been sold to a group of Japanese, and we don't own any of it now. I own the tiniest and barely perceptible amount.
Can you get me on Riviera Golf Course?
I might be able to.
Yeah, this is why I like you, Ben.
You know, Rob, they are offering caddy positions.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? If I may tell you this, Rob, because we're pals, I am a member. A wifey is a member of a very wonderful club down in the desert called Morningside. It has an incredible
Mission Hills. Course. No, Mission Hills.
And we're members of Mission Hills. And Mission Hills has some of the best golf courses.
They have
in
the
America.
Championships there. They have the LPGA championship type stuff going on there. It's amazing.
Heavy duty courses.
It's a brilliant golf course that Ben, thank God, one day told me I am not allowed to go golfing in 110 degree weather with a psycho friend of mine. And Ben, I thank God in a parent like way, he seriously said to me, you are not, he basically said, there's no effing way you're going golfing that day. And I thank God he did. It was literally, I couldn't do it. And I owe my life to Ben Stein that day, because I would have been dead.
It was a very, very hot day, and you had to be there real early in the morning.
Yeah, hot day. It was like 119.
You don't even play golf. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't play golf. It was 119 degrees out, and I had to be there at like 10 in the morning. And Ben knows my system, my internal.
But Robert Kendall, I would be extremely honored if you wanted to come down and play at these clubs. It would be my great honor to work it out.
You are the man, Ben.
And when Ben says something like that, he actually means it. The last thing I want to get to is ESPN has there's two things. ESPN, Ben, has ESPN2, and they've on their Monday Night Football casts, they've been having the Manning brothers, Peyton Manning and Eli, doing the commentary on the game, and the ratings are up 138%. And the reason I bring that up is the ratings are up 138%, and 2.6 million people watched the Tonys last night. And another of the most highly rated shows is TNT's Halftime Show, which has Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley. Now, there's a trend with the, and if people missed it, Shaquille O'Neal was slamming celebrity culture last week, slamming it, saying, I'm not a celebrity, I don't have these radical, crazy views, all that. And basically, Ben, the point I'm trying to bring up is that it's amazing that they have the formula. They have these two Manning brothers who are middle of the road type guys. I'm sure you've met Peyton Manning. It was one of the nicest, fun, most days of my life.
Very nice guy.
It couldn't be nicer. And politically, they probably lean to the right a little bit. But these games are my point being is, imagine it's like they're not going to take the lesson, Ben. They're not going to say what works about these shows, and let's give the American people the humor and the joy that they so deserve. And I'll watch one time, Ben, with you, the NBA halftime. I don't watch the NBA games, but watching Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, Rob, what you have to admit is money. I mean, it's absolute gold.
You know who didn't enjoy that football game last night, Judah? Everyone who bet the Cowboys would win between 1 and 13 points. That's who didn't enjoy that game last night.
But getting back to my point, Ben, it's you're right. People want to laugh, and like people want to have the yogurt in the refrigerator, and people want to have the diet Pepsi,
French toast,
and it's hard to find. By the way, my mother told me there's a can shortage. I could not find bottles of Diet Coke anywhere. It's why I'm drinking
that is true. But I can tell her, I'll tell you where you can find it out here in Malibu, and I will even take you there.
Yeah, and I'll ship it back east for $150. By the time it gets there, it'll have exploded in the freight car.
What is money?
What is money? But Ben and Rob, you get to the point, it's like people want to have fun. And they just
wait a minute. Isn't that girls just want to have fun?
Yes, it's Cyndi Lauper. Brilliant. I believe it was Cyndi Lauper. Somebody could fact check that, but I'm almost positive. But Ben, people just really want to enjoy themselves, and I think there is a turning point, and I think there is a changing. There's the tides; they are changing. I have to believe that, Ben, that nobody wants to live life of misery, like the left wants us to.
Well, I don't think they think it's misery. They think it's fun. I mean, when Stalin died, people had been put in the labor camps and the gulags and were about to be shot, cried when Stalin died and they were spared. They cried. That's how crazy these people are.
I agree. And Rob,
a lot of craziness out there.
No, it was brilliantly said. And Rob, somebody said, Rivera's really hard. I don't want to use layer language. Try the Sherwood classic. And yes, and Ben's completely right. And I do, though, believe that the times, they are changing. And to quote I would love Ben, and you've never met him. I mean, he's one of the few people you've never met is Dylan.
And he lived very close to me for quite a while.
But it's sort of fascinating that he was sort of the symbol of something that he wasn't. I mean, the guy's a hardworking family man in many ways that believed in the American dream, that believed in the 9-to-5 worker. He's everything that the left hated, and it's sort of ironic. We are running out of time, though. I had a lot of fun tonight. I had a lot of fun reading the comments. I really did. I'm enjoying this, and hopefully in a couple weeks, Five for Fighting will be here. We'll have a show, of course. The show must always go on. We will be back on Thursday night. And I want to remind everybody to please download our podcast. Please subscribe to our email, benstein.substack.com. Listen to Rob every day, Mock and Rob. We met Mock the other night. She was fantastic.
Very lovely and beautiful, extremely beautiful and very intelligent and very beautiful.
Ben, I have a question. You know, my father is the world's second biggest Ben Stein fan, maybe third if we include Judah, myself being a second.
Well, I am honored. I am very honored.
He asked me to ask you specifically tonight. Every night before I go on, I text him and say, anything you want me to ask Ben. He wants to know, do you think California has any hope now that Newsom has been not thrown out and now has done mail-in balloting as a permanent thing?
Is there any hope for what?
A Republican will ever come back and win.
Oh, sure.
Some
charismatic Republican will come back and win. And, you know, if I may say so, Californians are much, much different from what you in the Midwest think we are. We're not all crazy. We're not all dope addicts. I know some guy is not a dope addict. So it's California is ripe for the picking if we just get the right candidate.
And I will quote Ben Stein and say, I won't be around for that, Rob. Right. But eventually that could happen. And of course you hear the Mock and Rob Show every day from 9 to noon on 93.1 WIBC, the presidents of conservative talk radio. And of course, follow Ben, follow him at American Spectator, spectator.org. Ben's writing just brilliant stuff 3 to 4 times a week there. And if you can, it's really important that we support conservative sites. It is extremely important that we give a few extra dollars, if we can, to those sites because they need our money. Their advertising dollars are really hard for conservative sites, for conservative people that speak their mind. So please, they need the donations at spectator.org. They've been around for ages, and we pray that they are around for more ages. Yeah. And Ben Stein, please take us out.
Oh, I wish I were in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie. Hooray, hooray, In Dixieland, I'll take my stand to live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. And I want to tell you just one more thing. My wifey, the absolutely best person in the world, the unequivocally best person in the world, a goddess, a divinity, a person so superb, beautiful, intelligent, kindly. She and I were lying in bed, and I was playing Dixie on my phone, and she was asleep, and in her sleep, she sang along with it.
God bless you all. God bless America. I love that story. And the message tonight is listen to Dixie and watch Perry Mason at the same time. You will be better off. God bless you all. We will see you Thursday
night. God bless you all. God bless you all.